internet is not just a number and or a peak or a trough, but that you can capture it and that you can capture it digitally.
Welcome to AI for Pharma Growth, the podcast from pioneering pharma artificial intelligence entrepreneur, Dr. Andre Bates. This show aims to demystify AI for all those in biopharma, from startup biotech right through to big pharma. Each episode focuses on all things AI and future tech related to help pharma execs to navigate through the and benefit from the sometimes confusing but magical world of AI-powered tools to grow and get real-world results.
So today's episode is AI for demand planning. Supply and demand of pharmaceuticals are mutually exclusive. The supply chain is wholly reliant upon pharmaceutical companies being able to effectively forecast demand for a particular product. And forecasts, by their very definition, involve a degree of uncertainty. But when a company fails to meet demand, it has major implications on the drug and the company. The company may experience loss in sales, higher costs to fly the product out to the country, a bad reputation for unreliability with customers, and overworked employees. In a recent survey of pharmaceutical managers, it was reported that the majority said that they had misallocated demand for new medicines by up to 25%. However, the reality could be even higher. Making accurate demand forecast is very challenging for pharmaceutical companies, and it's an area that AI can make a huge difference. My guest today is Piet Buck, CEO and founder of Garvis AI, which is now part of Logility, a company that leverages AI to create far more accurate demand planning for pharma and other industries. Shall we start with you telling us a little bit about your background and what led you to found the company?
Hi, Dr. Andre, very nice. Thank you for the introduction. I'm Belgian, so a bit of my background, and I'm based in Antwerp. And working in supply chain of almost more than 20 years now. But it's not that I did wake up one morning with the idea to do everything different. I had the opportunity now 13 years ago to work with the first applications of AI in supply chain. It's called demand sensing, where for the first time, you have to think traditional demand planning has been the same for years. You looked at the past and tried to predict it for the future. But this was like the first generation where people were trying to look at, is there other information, for instance, orders or consumption? And surprise, you know, the results were staggering. You know, there were a reduction of error with 30%. But at that moment, it was very, very hard to get those data. We're talking 2010, 2012. Importation were very hard. It was very, very expensive. And most of it was a black box. And that made that we did have the results. But of course, people, the human side was neglected. And we thought if we could capture those tremendous results and make them available in a lot faster way, not these long implementations, and also make them more gray, you know, like or transparent for people to work with, then we could solve a problem. As you said, you know, demand is one of the last unsolved areas of the supply chain.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we get into your AI system of how you actually do your demand planning, how did pharma and other companies traditionally do this? It was really just looking at the past and making predictions from that.
So the traditional process is basically almost like the work of Sisyphus. You every month, in the beginning of the month, you start by cleaning your history. You remove everything which you think is not normal. It was very specific for the month, so that's removing all the outliers. You try to come some base average, and then you discuss with the different parties, marketing, whether they're going to launch new products or very specific the organization that are responsible for launching the new products, what's going to happen, sales, what's going to happen, what you know about your distributors, about the market, about the competition. And then they bring all that information back in and try to make analysis what the potential range is going to be in a discussion, and that's called a consensus. And then they bring it to production, to supply, and to the financial part. And they also have a say on it. And the result of it is that the more people have a say, the more basically average people come in. And of course, average is the enemy of accuracy. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. I've had so many conversations with forecasters who do this. And the challenges when they get it wrong. I had one company I was speaking to that was saying that it took 3 months to get the drug by ship from where they manufacture it to this particular country. And then if they got it wrong, which they often did, they said even things like a snowstorm could, you know, really throw things out. Then they would have to fly a lot more product, which would then cost a fortune and really eat into, you know, the profit. So what would you say are the other sort of costs, either monetary or otherwise, when companies get this wrong?
Yeah. What you say is why would people in the pharma, in the life science industry fly it in? Because they are not serving consumers, they're serving patients. Eh? So,
yeah.
And that's their almost like moral obligation, apart from running a vital business. So it's extremely important because everything an organization does is based on that plan, what you make,
yeah,
what you
exactly.
source. And they have very long lead times, and they have to create active ingredients. And sometimes these active ingredients are only available during a very, very short period of time, because they have shelf life.
Exactly. Eating. Particularly vaccines and things that are, you know, refrigerated.
We've seen that there were a complex supply chain and all that's driven by the demand plan that they make. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, once COVID came, a lot of the historical data was really kind of obsolete because the whole market shifted completely.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So people were not prepped for that. That's
exactly. Yeah. So what about your solution? So when I came across what you do, I was so impressed. And the results that you get compared with the traditional approach are just outstanding. Could you tell the listeners a little bit about what your system does?
Yeah, so one of the things, you know, that was really important for us is that it's insight-based, and that demand is not just a number or a peak or a trough, but that you can capture it and that you can capture it digitally. Yeah? So that means that you can create this relationship between this peak and something that happened in the outside world. And then, of course, you know, AI comes into place because the AI helps you for each component of your demand, because your demand is basically, if you don't do anything, then you have a certain baseline that's driven by the what your patients need or what your hospital needs or what your product needs. Mm-hmm. That's typically where the statistical environment is happening. But then you have all these influences, seasonal elements. Then you have external events that happen. For instance, you have a life-saving drug. If your let's say competitor or your supplier with a competing formula is out of stock, you know, your demand will go through the roof at that moment. But it's a unique event, so it's an event that you need to be able to capture.
Yeah.
If governments announce change in prices or changes in payback, you know, of social security, then of course it's a huge impact. So being able to capture that, link that to the ups and downs, and make that transparent, that's what we have been able to create. And the beautiful thing about this is that we made it to implement very, very fast, basically in one day.
That just blew me away that you can do that within a day of being introduced to a client. It's incredible. Speaking of the fact that way back, you know, 10 years ago, you couldn't get the data. Now, what kind of data do you use to do all these, to capture all this information?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And so there are different layers of data. So the first thing that's most important to understand is how your patients, your hospital, your distributors react to external events. I talked about change in regulation, payback, all these elements. And that's something you can see in your history. So basically, we don't try to repeat the history. We try to understand it. So we try to train the AI with the help of the planner on what happened and what influenced those elements.
Yeah.
Then by understanding that, you get a lot more insights, which you can digitally capture on what's probably going to happen in the future. And then the second element is what orders are coming in, because they're a reflection of how your current patient, hospital, consumers basically see the world at this moment, because they order, and if you can almost look into the future with that data.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you have then the external factors, maybe that anticipation of certain changes in the market, maybe growing patient populations. For instance, for COVID, people could see, you know, the increase of the contamination in the world, and so they could estimate what that demand would be. So bringing the power of AI is just bringing all those elements together and making it clear for the planner where to focus on.
Yeah. And you actually, which just is so cool, reduce forecast errors by around up to 30%. Can you tell us kind of what you see when you implement compared to what clients were doing before? Is it around, I have seen you do it to 30%. Is it that kind of the average of what you see across companies?
Yeah, so there is a range between 10 to 15 out of the box. That's basically what the system automatically is being able to do. Why is the system being able to do? Because it looks at the different components of the demand separately, forecast mm-hmm. them separately, and then brings them together. Just going to give an example. You might have a cold medicine that's going to be very seasonal. It's going to be come back every fall and last until spring. So that's seasonal. That's something that you need to look over a long term to understand what that seasonality is.
Yeah.
But you might, this year, you might have a very exceptional cold, you know, because you have a new variant of a cold. So it will be seasonal, but the trend for that season will be a lot higher. If you use a statistical model, you're either focus on the seasonality or you focus on the trend. You cannot do both at the same time. With AI, you can look at the trend. I see, oh, wow, this is a big cold, and still use that seasonality at the same time. And that's a bit how you come to the 10 to 50% accuracy.
Yeah.
Then the 30% you get by understanding what these price changes are, and that's the demand sensing, what's happening among your patients, what are they ordering, what are they consuming right now. So that's the combination.
Very nice. And what about the validation data from your client data? How many companies have you done this with? And what was the average kind of improvement?
Yes. Yeah, so we talked a bit about the average improvement, 10 to 15% to start
out
with.
Of the box.
Up to 30, dependent on the interaction, then depends a bit on your business. Some, like in clinical trials, for instance, we can reduce error even more than in more like when you have a very stable consumption of something, of course, you know, then the relative percentage
goes up.
Is going to be a little less. So we have more than 110 customers, of which we expect to double this year as being part of Agility, of course.
Yeah.
But out of that, we have about 10 life science organizations right now.
Yeah.
And your basic question was,
out of those 110, so you've used the data from those companies that you've worked with already to get that.
Exactly. So also in data, there has been a lot of evolution compared to the past. A lot of the traditional systems are still what they call schema on write. So that means if the data are not 100% clean, your system cannot consume it.
Yeah.
That has totally changed. The modern architectures allow also to use AI at the entrance and basically help guessing what the data is about, so you can a lot faster work with dirtier data. So that's a real progress. And so our environment would not be possible if it we would still have to have like the data spick and span 100%.
Yeah.
So that's not necessary anymore.
Yeah. And could you give maybe just go through an example case study of working with a client, you know, when they came to you, you onboarded them obviously in a day, which is astounding. And then what kind of, how it changed their practice?
So the onboarding of the day, of course, just to put it a bit in perspective, and it's setting up of the model and creating the results and changing a process, having people actually then using that in reality takes more time. That's of course you have to validate, because you're not want to just click on the system and then the next day using this result. But the good thing is that of course the discussion is then about your data and about what's happening. So there are two examples, you know, that I want to give. So one is from a very large life science organization, that one of the tendencies in the last 10 years, maybe you've seen that or documented that in the life science environment, is that decisions have for supply chains have centralized. So because people wanted to control supply, the sourcing, and make it more efficient. And when the outside world was kind of stable, then this worked. But now this means that the information about sales are mostly captured locally in the countries, but the big supply chain decisions are taken centrally by area, and an area most of the time is an a continent like Europe or US. So what happens is that the first consensus forecast happens in the country. And for instance, let's say in Germany, there was a big spike in the demand because a competitor went out of stock. Yeah, so that was before that organization could not capture that. They could just write it down. Mm-hmm. And then when the demand went to the central decision, they would see a spike in demand, but they would not know anymore where the spike would come from. They would try to simulate what impact it would have on their supply. And then at the end of the meeting, you know, have to ask, where does the spike come from? And then with email, try to find back, you know, what the different components are. So what we help them to do is to capture it at the source, make it more accurate, and have it available when the final decisions are being made, where the products need to go, to understand also what the color basically of the demand is. I call it going from black to white to color TV, in the sense that you understand where it comes from, but also what the reason is for it.
Yeah. So remember back in the beginning, you described how companies did it traditionally. How long did that process take for a traditional, you know, looking at the last month and taking the outliers out and doing all that kind of thing?
Yeah, so now all their information is current. Before they had like information every month, they had a new snapshot. Now their information is current. So that means that for orchestration phase, they can go almost to a weekly cycle where they iron out, you know, the difference in demand, but they keep still their monthly cycle. But now with this 20-30% more accuracy.
Yeah. So that's a big difference. So much pharma data used to be, you know, every month, but 2 months out. It was often delivered later than actually, you know, that the end of that month, then it takes another month before they actually get it. Whereas, whereas with what you're doing, it's real-time data. You're actually collecting it all the time. So every week it can be updated with the latest data.
Yeah. And your longer plan is also synchronized there always. Mm. So the different levels, different horizons are always synchronized.
Yeah. And what I was also really impressed is your costs. You know, the charging for what you do is so much less than just, you know, paying for a team of forecasters for a year. You actually could have one person that's just handling the whole thing very, very quickly. Or even maybe no people, I don't know, with the...
No, totally not. Okay. Let me make it very strict.
I know. You always need a human in the loop, but it's just so inexpensive compared to so many things I've seen. It's so impressive. And then getting up and running with the base package, with the base algorithms in a day, just blew me. I mean, I think people just, until they actually try it, find it hard to imagine that you could do that. It's very, very cool.
But let me be very strict there on the fact that it is to support humans. Huh? It is to make the role of the planner a lot more strategic because he has to help to navigate the organization. Now he has the data to have the discussions in a lot more effective way and to align the organization around the decision. Because the problem is in these big pharma organization, they need to be siloed. They need to, because almost every discussion is or examination that they do on assessment new products, on assessment of the packaging materials being in line with regulations, all these elements are specialist work.
Yes.
And that's necessary. But what AI can help, and especially because we haven't talked yet, there is a whole large language model or ChatGPT layer on top of this that allows you to communicate across these specializations. And that's the big breakthrough I find, you know, is that now one specialization can, with the help of large language model, because this information is digital, understand why a decision has been made in another part of...
That's interesting. I didn't know about that. So you've layered it on top so people could actually then question the system and say, why is it saying this? And
Exactly. Yeah. So instead of having to email to this person in that country, where does the peak come from? You just ask, you know.
Yeah.
And even if you're the CEO or if you're a financial person, is this a real exception or variation I need to take into account for the future? Or what was this, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. And that's a real breakthrough. And a combination of narrow AI, which is basically connecting these insights and making these different layers of the demand to understanding what it means for everybody around.
Yeah. Wow, that's really impressive. And so if some of the listeners would like to reach out to you, how do they get in touch with you and find out more?
Yes, I can. Of course, you know, happy to share my email. It's pete.buck@logility.com. You can also go on our website, www.logility.com, or look for Demand AI Plus, or www.garvis.ai. And that used to be where you still have like the Garvis information. Of course, I think they can reach out to you to also
see. Yes, I'm happy to introduce.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
Wow. Well, so impressive. I haven't come across anything like what you guys are doing in this space. So I'm really, really impressed. And thank you so much for your time today.
But thank you for giving me the forum. And thank you.
Well, it's worth it because I think the more companies that know about this, the better.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of AI for Pharma Growth. If you have received huge value from this show, or maybe this episode has highlighted how you can use AI in your company, then we would love for you to support the show by leaving us a 5-star rating. Please make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button on your podcast app now to make sure you never miss an episode.